Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" The greatest gift that fallen man could have is the gift of salvation, the promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus. But the vast majority of mankind refuses to avail themselves of it. Soon all of us will pass from this earth and stand before God to give an account on how we handle God's salvation offer. Consider what Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, and 16. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." John chapter 3, 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Acts chapter 4, 11 and 12 speaks of salvation. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." John 3, 3, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Are you born again? Born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God? Have you neglected so great a salvation? God's offer is extended, and God's offer is his only begotten Son, the Savior of all who will believe upon his name. Today you are in the valley of decision, and neglect has the same results as no. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Jeremiah 23, verse 24, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" God said, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." God said, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." God said, Isaiah 59, 10, "We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men." Man said, "I will live my life without the constraints of the Christian's God and his Bible. If there even is a God in the judgment day, I'll take my chances." Now the record. The more technically sophisticated science research becomes, the more they find themselves knocking on heaven's door. It was Darwin's position that as science advanced in knowledge, science would eliminate the relevance of God and his Bible, but the exact opposite is the case. Thousands of years have passed since the Word of God was put to paper, and not one single passage has been found in error. Be of good cheer, saints. Your childlike faith has not and will not be disappointed. Satan's champions of confusion have challenged and blasphemed millions of times, but have failed time after time. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 779 that will once again certify the pure veracity of God's Word. All of these powerful faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for the edification of the blood-bought and as ammunition in the battle for the souls of men. The battle is raging, and every Thursday Eve, God willing, a new feature airs. Thank you for coming. We are truly honored by your visit. In several recent features, God Said, Man Said has highlighted 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8 through 11, and the concept of the deceivableness of unrighteousness. The full passage reads, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. The Bible states that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Righteousness in action is the deeds of faith. Unrighteousness in action is the deeds of unbelief. Because men receive not the love of the truth, God sends them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Consider this paragraph in volume 151 of New Scientist by David Darling, writing under the heading, On Creating Something from Nothing. What is the big deal, the biggest deal of all, is how you get something out of nothing. Don't let the cosmologists try to kid you on this one. They have not got a clue either, despite the fact that they are doing a pretty good job of convincing themselves and others that this is really not a problem. In the beginning, they will say, there was nothing. No time, space, matter, or energy. Then there was a quantum fluctuation from which, whoa, stop right there. You see what I mean? First there is nothing, then there is something. And the cosmologists try to bridge the two with a quantum flutter, a tremor of uncertainty that sparks it all off. Then they are away, and before you know it, they have pulled 100 billion galaxies out of their quantum hats. You cannot fudge this by appealing to quantum mechanics. Either there is nothing to begin with, in which case there is not quantum vacuum, no pre-geometric dust, no time in which anything can happen, no physical laws that can affect a change from nothingness into somethingness, or there is something, in which case that needs explaining. End of quote. Another great pair of examples of the deceivableness of righteousness concerns the water buffalo and the banana, and you'll find this on the God Said, Man Said feature, Their Imaginations Became Vain. Evolutionists were forced to come up with a plausible theory on how seagoing mammals such as whales, dolphins, and porpoises evolved. Remember, mammals supposedly evolved from the sea, so how did these mammals end up back in the water? Some evolutionists suggest that an even-toed land mammal like the water buffalo is a likely candidate to have evolved into the present-day whale. They speculate that the water buffalo liked to hang around the water a lot, and over eons of time, his hind legs simply fell off, and his front legs changed into flippers, and the science student said, no kidding. The water buffalo's hairy hide simply changed into smooth, thick blubber, and his nostrils slid up to the top of his head to form a blowhole. Then his tail evolved into flukes, and because he was floating around in the water all the time, his body became enormous, and the student said, isn't that interesting? Sound absurd? Do you think I'm exaggerating? The following excerpt is from Volume 50 of National Geographic, written by V.B. Scheffer. The whale's ascendancy to sovereign size apparently began 60 million years ago when hairy, four-legged mammals in search of food or sanctuary ventured into water. As eons passed, change slowly occurred. Hind legs disappeared. Front legs changed into flippers. Hair gave way to a thick, smooth blanket of blubber. Nostrils moved to the top of the head. The tail broadened into flukes. And in the buoyant water world, the body became enormous. End of quote. Finally, consider this idea. Evolutionary biologist Robert May was quoted in January 2001 in Discover magazine. The more we learn about genome, the more it teaches us about our own place in the web of life. For example, we share half our genes with the banana. Actually, it would be more accurate to say bananas share half their genes with us because their genome is smaller. This is a fact more evident in some of my acquaintances than others. The article's author said, this year, the mapping of the genome shocked us, revealing a truth even more humbling and amusing. We are not just monkeys, but their favorite snack as well. The title of the article is, Your Cousin, the Banana. And the class of students said in concert, no kidding! End of quotes. Since the Garden of Eden, man has been struggling to free himself from the words of God, but the results are always hurtful and deadly. Carnal man keeps knocking, but he can't come in. Before the latest in man's mad search for the theory of everything, let's review some foundational information. God Said, Man Said feature, The Invisible Kingdom. An atom, according to scientific theory, is the building block of all matter. Many are shocked to discover that science doesn't know what holds it together, nor can science tell what holds the universe together, except for a fast-growing number of astrophysicists who think they have found the answer. The following excerpt is from Discover Magazine, August 2000, in an article titled, "The Search for Missing Matter." Like doubting disciples, certain astronomers spend much of their time looking for proof of an unseen hand at work in the cosmos. In 1933, a Swiss astronomer named Fritz Wicki proposed that some otherworldly presence, massive but invisible, holds the visible world together. Without it, he said, galaxy clusters would fly apart, their edges spinning off into space like peanuts tossed from a carousel. Unlikely as it seems, Zwicky's hypothesis has grown more convincing with time. Astrophysicists now know that Zwicky's missing matter is fundamentally different from the ordinary matter that makes up planets and people. It doesn't interact with light, for example, either by radiating or blocking it. And it couldn't have much interaction with everyday matter either, or its existence would be far more obvious. It betrays its presence only by the gravitational pull it exerts on the shapes and movements of galaxies. Today, the missing matter is known as cold dark matter. Cold because by subatomic standards it is sluggish, dark because it cannot be detected even with the most sophisticated telescopes, and matter because it isn't energy, which is the only other option. According to the latest study of galaxy clusters and theories, it is estimated that 96% of all the universe is of the invisible sort. The writer called it an unseen hand. The title of a 2001 science article written by science journalist Karen Wright says, "Very Dark Energy," and the subtitle was, "Why is the universe expanding faster and faster?" The answer may be a form of energy we almost can't imagine. The following paragraph is from Wright's article. Today's cosmologists are calling this force dark energy. Dark because it may be impossible to detect, and energy because it's not matter, which is the only other option. Despite the sinister connotations, dark energy is a beacon that may lead physicists to an elusive final theory, the unification of all known forces, from those that hold the components of atoms together to the gravity that shapes space, end of quote. Yes, these physicists are searching for the elusive final theory, the unification of all known forces. And when they get there, the answer will obviously be God. Science writer Alan Burdick quotes NASA microbiologist Kasturi Virkanswaran in an October 2004 feature in Discover magazine titled "Seeding the Universe." The following paragraph is from that article. Maybe it's something you're not able to detect with the naked eye. Maybe it exists on a different wavelength, he says. A public relations minder from NASA looks less than thrilled by Venkat's speculations. He goes on, "You might think I'm crazy. Maybe there's somebody walking around right now that we can't see." End of quotes. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature is. Have you ever heard of dark matter? Theoretically, dark matter is not dark at all, but invisible. An ever-growing number of scientists theorize that this unseen stuff makes up 96% of the universe's mass. David Spurgill, a leading cosmologist and member of the Wilkinson Microwave Anisotropy Probe, states, "We know that ordinary matter accounts for only 4% of the mass of the universe. The rest consists of dark matter." Again, Spiegel says, "And right now, we have a model in which 4% of the universe is atoms and 90% is something else unidentified." This group of dark matter proponents claims this invisible source is responsible for seeding the formation of galaxies and keeping them together. They are certain this invisible force exists because they can see its effects on the motion of galaxies. They don't, however, know what it's made of. Under the title, "Astronomers Search for Dimension X," was found the following excerpt. Jonathan Feng of the University of California at Irvine has put a bizarre spin on recent cosmological models. He and his collaborators propose that much of the universe's mass consists of hidden particles that travel outside the familiar three dimensions. The idea is not just idle speculation. Feng has shown that some experiments could soon put this theory to the test. "It's mind-boggling if it's true. That would change everything," he says. Feng's group had been trying to understand dark matter. the unseen stuff inferred from its effects on visible galaxies. One possibility, they realized, is that dark matter consists of Kaluza-Klein particles, named for two physicists who postulated the existence of extra dimensions curled up tightly outside of the three we experience, end of quote. The idea that some invisible substance fills the universe is not really all that new. Author Dr. Sanford Frumkner speaks of an electromagnetic radiation that fills the universe and cites research conducted at least 20 years ago, he writes. Since our five senses aren't aware of this energy, we call the space it dwells in empty space, but it's far from that. In fact, that empty space in which electromagnetic radiation exists may be the most filled space in our universe. Research has shown us that the electromagnetic radiation that fills up our universe is somehow tied to information. In 1984, Dr. Francis Schmidt of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology introduced a term for this information. He called it information substance, or IS. There are different explanations for the nature of this information. Schmidt's explanation was that electromagnetic radiation is a carrier of information and that this information produces intelligence. Dr. Tom Stonier, a physicist from England, saw a different explanation of electromagnetic radiation. In his book, Information and the Internal Structure of the Universe, Dr. Stonier states that the electromagnetic energy in our universe does not carry information. He believes it is made up of information. This universal information is the energy that created the universe, and us for that matter, and makes up most of our universe. Whichever theory of is you choose to believe, the conclusions are basically the same. The energy that fills our universe provides it with universal information and universal intelligence. In fact, we live in a sea of universal intelligence. We were created from that sea of universal intelligence and are kept alive and functioning by it. End of quote. Dr. Fritz Albert Popp, a physicist from Munich, Germany, specializes in the study of biophotons, which are made up of electromagnetic waves. His laboratory is the largest of its kind in the world. The author, Frumkner, in his book Test and Grow Healthy, continues concerning the studies of Dr. Popp. Photons are packages of energy, and bio means life. So biophotons are packages of the energy that carry the information of life. Biophotons are made up of electromagnetic waves with a frequency range of 10 to the 14th power to 10 to the 16th power hertz cycles per second, and they carry the information of life. All living things absorb photons of these frequency. All living things also produce photons of this frequency, and when one cell of a living organism communicates with other cells, it does so by sending photons of this bioelectromagnetic frequency. Popp further found that when any living organism dies, the biophotons carrying bioelectromagnetic energy of 10 to the 14th power, 10 to the 16th power hertz, immediately and completely left the body. When that energy was gone, life ceased. End of quote. And finally, concerning Dr. Popp is this last paragraph. He also found that photons were coherent radiation. This means that they radiated laser beams. They could thus work between all single systems of cells at the highest speed possible, the speed of light. What's more, they had a higher coherence, or constituted a much more refined technical system than the lasers we can produce with our advanced technology. While industrial lasers emit only limited wavelengths, the biological system emits an infinite number of wavelengths, end of quote. Scientists say that they can see the effects of dark matter even though it can't be detected by the human eye. By faith, they believe in this invisible force. Christ speaks of the workings of the invisible Spirit of God and says in John 3:8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." The believer sees the effects of the invisible God everywhere and in everything, even though he, God, remains unseen to the naked eye. The science writer's headline reads that this unknown commodity is a form of energy we almost can't imagine. Now consider this passage. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." 2 Corinthians 4, 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God is light, and he fills all things, including space. End of quote. God said, man said, they know not at what they stumble. They are constantly frustrated in their futile efforts, as demonstrated in the following short paragraphs found in January 2014 issue of Scientific American under the header Cosmic Dragnet, with the subhead, The search for dark matter is starting to go cold. Since the 1980s, physicists have developed a string of increasingly advanced detectors in pursuit of something that ought to be ubiquitous, but has proved devilishly hard to capture. Dark matter, the invisible stuff thought to make up a quarter of the universe, has yet to show in even the most sophisticated experiments. Another blow befell the search last October, when the world's most sensitive detectors of WIMPs, that stands for Weakly Interacting Massive Particles, came up empty. Dark matter may well be a WIMP, a ghostly particle, that would interact with normal matter very infrequently, which is why at least 15 experiments around the globe are looking for the particles. But if those campaigns fail to hit particle pay dirt in the next few years, scientists may have to refocus the search and embrace alternative explanations for dark matter, some of which are less than appealing. The hopes of detecting dark matter are clouded by the possibility that it might not be a WIMP. Another candidate particle, the axion, which is much lighter than a WIMP and therefore more difficult to spot. You don't hear about axions as much because it has proved somewhat harder to detect them, says Stanford University physicist Peter Graham. Only one large-scale project is currently on the case. An even thinner possibility is that dark matter only interacts with normal matter via gravity, meaning that snagging dark matter in the particle detector may be forever beyond our grasp. That's the most pessimistic possibility, which we all hope it isn't, Graham says, end of quotes. Now here comes the current information. February 2016, Scientific American title, "Last Call, Will WIMPs Show Their Faces?" Excerpts follow. It's now or never for physicists' favorite explanation of dark matter, the invisible material that seems to pervade the universe. The largest, most sensitive search yet for the particles many physicists think make up dark matter, weakly interacting massive particles or WIMPs, will begin in March at the Xenon 1T experiment at the Gran Sasso National Laboratory in Italy. The project is the latest in a line of detectors that date back as early as the 1980s, but have all failed so far to find dark matter. If the elusive particles go unfound in the next few years, physicists may have to abandon the leading theory and search for more exotic explanations. Our best models are within reach of Xenon 1-2, says Raphael Lang, a physicist at Purdue University who works on the experiments. If we don't see it, that means our ideas are completely wrong, and we really have to go back to the drawing board. WIMPs would be the lightest of these particles, and physicists favor them because the theory naturally predicts just about the amount of dark matter that experts know must exist because of its gravitational pull. Dark matter represents an estimated 84% of all matter in the cosmos. Many versions of WIMPs have already been ruled out because previous searches for them turned up nothing, but investigators are still hopeful that one of the remaining possibilities will show up. And if in the next few years neither of them sees a hint of the particles, the time may come for theorists to move on to another explanation for dark matter. On one hand, we know it exists, but on the other hand, we know very little about it. So it's very easy to theorize about possibilities, Tate says. If we don't see it, that tells us the dark matter has turned out to be more weird and wonderful than we had originally guessed it might be. End of quotes. Today's scientists keep on knocking on heaven's door. Consider a list of phrases used by scientific experts found in this feature. The biggest deal of all is how you get something out of nothing. They have pulled 100 billion galaxies out of their quantum hats. Hind legs disappeared. Front legs changed into flippers. Hair gave way to thick, smooth blanket of blubber. Nostrils moved to the top of the head, and so on. Your cousin the banana. Like doubting disciples. Some otherworldly presence, massive but invisible. An unseen hand. The answer may be a form of energy we almost can't imagine. It may be impossible to detect. A beacon that may lead physicists to an elusive final theory, the unification of all known forces. Maybe there's somebody walking around right now that we can't see. 4% of the universe is atoms, and 96% is something else unidentifiable. This invisible source is responsible for seeding the formation of galaxies and keeping them together. This invisible force exists. The universe's mass consists of hidden particles that travel outside the familiar three dimensions. It's mind-boggling if it's true. That would change everything. Empty space, in which electromagnetic radiation exists, may be the most filled space in our universe. We are created from that sea of universal intelligence and kept alive and functioning by it. Biophotons are packages of the energy that carry the information of life. Photons are coherent radiation. Has proved devilishly hard to capture. May have to abandon the leading theory and search for a more exotic explanation. If we don't see it, that means our ideas are completely wrong. If we don't see it, that tells us the dark matter has turned out to be more weird and wonderful than we had originally guessed it might be. They keep knocking, but only the childlike enter in. God's word is true and righteous altogether. God said, Jeremiah 23:24, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" God said, Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." God said, Ephesians 1:22-23, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." God said, Isaiah 59:10, "We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men." Man said, "I will live my life without the constraint of the Christian's God and his Bible. If there even is a God in the judgment day, I'll take my chances." Now you have the record.